Welcome to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, bringing Carolina coast to coast and the speakeasy to your doorstep. Your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy. Yes, it's early morning. To invite you, we're all afraid of coughing on cue, right? I just wanted to make our guests feel easy. So I did it first.
Yes.
We feel much better.
Yes. See? Now you can
relax. Now get on with it.
Okay. Come on in, find a seat, get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the best. And here's Claudio. Good morning.
Good morning, America. How are you? The land in which the banks rob the people. Boy, Bonnie and Clyde would be really confused these days. They'd walk into a bank and the bank would hold them up.
That's right.
And you can expound on that. Closer to the mic there, John.
They had the money.
That's right. We've got a really unique show up ahead today. We've got Sarah Stiegler, the Executive Director of North Carolina Psychoanalytic Foundation. We've also got Renee Prillman, Head of Carolina Friends Middle School. Got Roxana, who's been here before, and of course John Demers.
Hello.
And
hi.
We're all gonna get back to you folks in just a second. Want to acknowledge my sponsor, the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, who underwrites Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCOM 103.5 FM. And now that we've given them the shout out, I also want to make a quick mention. Last week I mentioned the movement against Wall Street that is spreading further and further, and has my full support. And this morning we actually got a PSA on the subject. Can I be turned up a little more? I'm hardly hearing myself.
You're bouncing off here.
I'm bouncing. Okay, yes. Never mind then. Didn't know I was bouncing. I hope I'm on the upswing. here we go. Here's the PSA. The Occupy movement is gaining momentum. Starting on Wall Street, our movement is attracting thousands of people like you, people who are angry that a small minority grips political and economic power. This is why the banks can rob us. Join us as we demand not just that our voices be heard. Join us as we demand that our government and our economy serve the needs of most of the people. Occupy Chapel Hill on Saturday, October 15th at 10:30 a.m. in front of the post office at 179 East Franklin Street. Be there or be square. And that's
right
the deal.
On.
And, John, I thought I'd start off with you since you know about these folks I'm about to introduce and go on with and go on about. And also we're going to be dealing with a bit of the bully pulpit. That's one of the themes here today.
Bully is a word we're going to hear more than once today. We're going to hear bully more than once. Uh-huh. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
I'm
go
here.
Ahead. Tell
it's always something. Good to be here. You know, this is one of the places where...
It's a speakeasy.
Yeah, you know, you got to. This is like, you know, whenever you come through North Carolina, you got to do Claudio's radio show. You have to. This is it's an iconic
There's
kind of
idea.
Place to be.
We'll have them lined up at the door, Audrey.
There you go. Oh yeah. Speaking of the door, I'm looking out the window. I'll tell you what, you could do something about the weather today. It's raining.
Yes.
It's pouring.
It's not pouring. It's just lightly drizzling.
It's
that's,
atmospheric.
That's dripping off the roof. That stream
that's
of water.
The roof line.
We required a different ambiance for the show.
I hear you. Well, I'm dripping wet now. Thank you. The show will go on
yes.
with my drip.
So tell us a little bit about what you know about
yeah.
these folks since I'm meeting them through you, essentially.
You really are, and it's really interesting because we met them through individuals that were also sort of in the entertainment industry. I think we were performing in Apex, the Rusty Bucket Band, during one of our encore showings of the TV pilot, the Rusty Bucket Kids, Lincoln Journey to 16.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the individuals approached us and said, we would really like to get you involved in a campaign that Gabby Ray is supporting and getting behind, which was Be Bold, Back Off Bully. And of course, anything dealing with that topic is something that I appreciate because I was one of those kids that moved around sometimes two or three times a year to a new school just because of my dad's work. He was always fixing broken Holiday Inns. Now, don't ask me what that is. That's another show. But we moved a lot. And so I didn't have the benefit of the military brat kind of thing going on to protect me. But I'd get to a place, and so I was like the new kid. And people always want to test the new kid.
Oh, yes.
And so, you know, this was really like, okay, we can get behind this. We can support this. And so we said we would, and so we've tried to put as much of our weight behind this as possible with all of our resources, and I'm just tickled to know that October 23rd from 1 to 5 p.m., Gabby Ray is coming and will be performing at Cocoa Booth Amphitheater. And the folks that we have here in the studio, and Gabby is going to be calling in
at about 10:15 this morning.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to be excited about that. I know Roxanna's looking forward to talking to her. They've been doing a lot of tweeting and Facebooking this morning and all along for the last several weeks.
And she's sitting there all aglee.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, Sarah Stiegler is here, and she is very knowledgeable about the event and what's going on and how people can support that. And then we also have from Carolina Friends School, we have
Renee Perlman.
Renee Perlman. I was just going to say that reminds me of an actor's. That's an actor's name out. No?
Perlman, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's
changed from Brillman.
And Carolina Friends School is one of the schools in the state that has been utilizing a particular program to work with the anti-bullying. And so that's how we're now moving in to the people here that are going to talk the most today. So, Roxanna, introduce these fine ladies one more time for us.
Grab the mic, Roxanna.
Okay, all right, there we go. Awesome. So here...
Face the mic when you're talking.
There we go. Next to me, we have Renee Perlman. And I think that she's our middle school director at Carolina Friends School.
Indeed.
And then Sarah Stiegler, who's our... amazing
psychoanalyst,
something like that. I'm not sure.
We can leave it at amazing.
Yeah. So, she's here with us, and we're all here helping and supporting Gabby Ray's concert.
Which, of course, is in itself in support of
exactly.
the anti-bullying campaign and so
yes,
on.
That's right.
So. How does she tie into that, if I may ask? Either one of you ladies, take the mic.
Roxanne?
No,
Gabby Ray.
How does Gabby Ray fit into this? She's apparently made it part of her course, from what I understand.
Yes. Several months ago, probably back in June, we learned about Gabby Ray's campaign mm-hmm. to stop bullying. And a friend of mine pointed her out to me. I read her information. She has an amazing story in herself that she's had a journey in her singing that almost didn't happen. She was born with a defect on her throat,
yeah.
trachea, and has had several operations and has this amazing voice after all these operations.
And you said she launched when she was 6 years old?
She was launched when she was 6 years old and was starting to get recognized a couple of years ago, was heard by Ian Burke, which is her agent, and he has been promoting her for the last 2 years
ever
from
since.
Atlanta. And to hear her, you would be shocked to know that she's 13 years old. And she wants to stop bullying. She was bullied herself when she was in school. She is now being homeschooled because people didn't quite understand her fame.
I imagine that would be tough.
Mm-hmm. So we're so excited about having her involved in our program.
As am I.
It's because of her we've decided to do a bigger version of our concert, and we brought on Roxanna to sing as well with the Rusty Bucket Kids Band, and the Sacrificial Poets will also be doing some slam poetry
right. I heard.
At the event.
And I'm going to do my best to be there, providing theater doesn't pull me away.
Well... The more the merrier. Yes. We've chosen Cocoa Booth Amphitheater so we can have lots of people there, or hold 6,000 people. And there'll be a lot of fun activities
no
to
doubt.
Do, including a rock wall and face painting, art things for the kids.
Fun stuff.
Lots of fun stuff.
Good.
But a real message that we're trying to get across to people.
Right.
And that fun stuff comes because you guys have some really fine sponsors behind it. You got Zoe's Kitchen,
mm-hmm.
Whole Foods, the Dr. Phil Foundation, Money Mailers, Curtis Media Group, of course, WCOM here, Hyatt Place. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that sponsors help drive the arts.
Absolutely.
In every single way.
They help drive the show. They help drive WCOM.
Exactly.
Audrey's got an announcement.
Yeah, I want to add to that list that Papa John is proud to be partnering with the North Carolina Psychoanalytic Foundation to raise money for the Peaceful Schools North Carolina program. Money raised will bring Peaceful Schools North Carolina talks and intervention to local schools. And you can get more information at peacefulschoolsnc.org.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Yay. Yay.
Always thanking our sponsors. And that includes the big old Carolina Theater. I know some of them are listening. So got to behave around those guys. I also want to mention that, of course, this whole bully pulpit thing is something that the Obama administration has initiated.
Absolutely.
Isn't that right?
Yep. Okay. Stopbullying.gov is their official website, and there's a wonderful message from the president.
Wonderful.
First Lady to talking about bullying.
And I know I dealt with a lot of that growing up in schools in South Africa. As a matter of fact, I was speaking earlier with Renee and mentioning how I basically learned to become a boxer because I got tired of getting pushed around by the bullies and getting my butt kicked. And in South Africa, it is a principle, or was. I don't know if they've become more westernized since. But if you had a problem with a kid in school, you went to the principal and you asked for the gloves. And during break, they formed a ring around you and you boxed it out. And...
Well, we're hoping to set a slightly standard.
We're talking about the Africa of the 50s and 60s, but, you know, sometimes things don't change
still,
that quickly.
A system of bullying, that's really what we want to make sure the message gets out. That
ultimately,
this is not just about a bully and a victim. It's really about a social system and system in schools that needs to be addressed.
And I also think, as we mentioned, many parents the world over don't realize what a dangerous time childhood is. Whether you live in a gang-oriented neighborhood or not, the school system is its own little microcosm of a planet.
Certainly, it's a social
structure. And it is a social structure. There's the predatory and the victim aspect. So that is something I think parents should take more to heart when they send their kids to school.
It is, and to hold their schools to be schools that put first and foremost creating a social system that supports children as a whole.
Indeed. I know it's a... my parents were somewhat dismissive of it, but I came home bloodied up two or three times a week. Mm-hmm. You know, you wear uniforms in South Africa, and I got disciplined again at home for being a ruffian
in trouble,
schools. When in
right.
fact I was the one being attacked. So
right.
I learned to remedy that by becoming a boxer and developing technique that could defy these bullies. And then I went chasing bullies. So that
well,
was, that
we've
was
come
my
to
thing.
Understand a lot more about it now, and parents can be helped and. And schools, administrators, teachers, kids, everybody has a part in making the system work. And in stepping up, that's what being bold is about, is not being a bystander, not allowing yourself to be a victim, and figuring out what's going on with that child who's engaging in bullying behavior so that that can be shifted for everyone.
Absolutely. And I think also what many don't realize is that a lot of this aggression that comes out of the bully-type persona is developed at home by some abuse or who knows what's going on that becomes this anxious expression that they meet out on the lesser advantaged in school.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, kids who engage in bullying behavior, for that matter, adults, because parents and teachers can engage in bullying without even thinking, actually, that's what they're
that's
doing,
very true.
Is often from a situation in which that person feels powerless. And they are seeking a way to have power over, to change something that they don't know how to change another way.
Very much so. Very much so. I don't think we consider all the psychological aspects that go into it. And even, I know in the South African schools of that period, racism was essentially part of the dialogue. And I didn't even realize it was because it was so casually interwoven. And that oftentimes you would sense that in some of what was going on. Not that we had black children in schools. The schools were strictly white and strictly black in separate locations. But oftentimes the prejudice of a parent that might have called somebody by the name given at the time, I'm not going to mention it on here, you'd hear that carried over in the frustration during the fight of the bully. You know, you're just another one of those.
Exactly. Well, part of what we have to come to understand, and certainly at Carolina Friends School, this is how we've held the mission of the school. We are preparing kids to be global citizens.
Yes.
But not just later. They're citizens now.
Yes, they
They're
are.
In a social system now. They're in relationships now.
Yes.
And they have the power to make a difference now. If we take the time, if we make a focus of our curriculum and our instruction, how to live in that social system in a way that you advocate for yourself and you contribute to the good of the group.
Mm-hmm. Do you think in many ways that it needs to have parents more involved, or do you think?
It's definitely a community effort.
I would say so, because my gut instinct on it is that if the parents were a lot more involved, it wouldn't be nearly as severe.
No, exactly. The parents need to be involved, especially in this day and time where the access to technology increases the opportunities for teasing and bullying, you know, through Facebook, through texting.
Some of the suicides we've heard about.
Which are powerful, wonderful tools in many ways, but also have a risk factor to them that is upon parents to monitor at home.
Absolutely. I also think if the child is more validated at home and more communicated with when, for example, the child comes home bloodied or whatever instead of criticized, you might find out more than you realize.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm curious to know if, you know, we talked about the social media just now, and we know from the success of our show that social media has been a strong component. And yet it makes me sit up and ask the question, you know, we have a lot of fans who have kids that are 3.5, 4 years old, and, you know, they're already working with social media devices. You know, iPods and iPhones and social smartphones, et cetera. But the question I have is, you pointed out that is having some of the implications in the bullying is coming from the social media side. How, as a parent, can I effectively monitor or watch and try to keep that from happening without being it appearing that I am, oh, you've got parents that are just dominating and they shouldn't be watching your stuff. I mean, how do I get around that?
Good
and
question.
I have my daughter in here. You notice that?
That's great.
I'm really stuck now because I have my 13-year-old. Give me a good answer.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a complex answer. I mean, I think the first thing is to recognize that just like anything else you would put in your child's hand, there's a developmental quality to this. So what you would trust your 16-year-old to do is very different than what you would put in the hands of your 8-year-old. And yet, technologically speaking, we aren't making those distinctions. We're often handing the 8-year-old the same technology that we're handing the 16-year-old. So you wouldn't put your 8-year-old behind the wheel of your car, and you wouldn't a bit feel like you were being a dominating parent by saying, no, you can't. So it's important to know developmentally what children are ready to do. There are organizations out there like the North Carolina Psychoanalytic Foundation and schools like Carolina Friends School or school administrators in any school who want to help parents get this information. Also, commonsensemedia.org provides some great, you like that, Roxanne? They provide great information for parents and kids and educators about how to developmentally approach this.
I think we have somebody calling in. Let's see who this is.
Good morning. This is WCOM. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. It's me, Gabby.
Hello, Gabby.
Hi, Gabby.
This is Claudio of Claudio Speakeasy, and I've got the whole gang here anxious to talk to you.
Hey, everybody.
We've got Renee, we've got Sarah, we've got Roxana, and John Demers, and of course my co-host,
Gabby.
Hey, Gabby.
Hi, Gabby. I can't wait to meet you next week.
I know. I'm super excited. We're going to have so much fun.
We are. I have lots of things planned for you.
Oh, yeah. I started an official countdown.
So have I.
Countdown to back off bully.
I'm curious to find out how you tie in with this anti-bullying campaign. I know that's a big part of a movement that you're about.
Well, as Miss Sarah said, because I was actually listening on the air.
Oh, good.
She mentioned that probably about June, she heard about my story from Miss Stacy. And basically, I tie in because my story is I was definitely the new kid. I moved to the South from the North, and I had a funny accent, and I was just the new kid who always got picked on. But I noticed that, you know, things started to, you know, dwindle down a little bit. But I started to notice also that it was going to the other new kids and also the special needs children. So I didn't want to just sit there and do nothing about it. I wanted to stand up for those who were being bullied.
Right.
So the bullies themselves, they gave me a choice, and it was either be with us and bully them or you be bullied along with them. But I wanted to be true to myself, and I wanted to be true to them, and I stood up for them.
That's wonderful. I can very much relate to that spirit, by the way I grew up. Mm-hmm. Now, there's got to be a whole different issue with your fame that I imagine is part of the reason you're being homeschooled now.
Yes. I got bullied because, you know, with that whole fame thing, people didn't understand what I was and what I was doing.
You were someone they could sort of weigh themselves against when they had ego trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they would say, you know, you think you're always better than everybody, and it hurt because, like, I didn't even have the chance to stick up for myself when they said those things.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just say, that's not true, they'll just keep talking.
And fame has more to do with people appreciating who you are than you necessarily having much to do with it, except having the God-given talent and cultivated skill.
Yeah, and I definitely tried to put that across as, you know, it is a God-given talent, and I'm so grateful to use it. And the reason I am using it is I want to make him proud, and I want to make my family proud and my fans, but they didn't want to hear it, I guess.
Of course, they don't have an ear for that, no.
Yeah.
And they themselves are usually locked into some psychological dilemma anyway that just warrants this violent expression, sad to say. I know.
Yeah.
I grew up with a lot of that growing up in South Africa.
Yeah, I would try to, you know, sometimes talk to the bullies, you know, like, why are you doing this? Because I knew that there was something deeper than just them bullying.
Yes.
But they never really came clean about things, but some of those bullies didn't have much for themselves.
Probably a lot of peer pressure at the time, too. They had people looking on, so they couldn't actually get to a point where they could intimate with you.
Exactly, and I was really glad to not have to, you know, I was able to get away from the peer pressure and do what was right.
Good for you. Bravo. So tell us about your singing career. You've got me very curious about that. I'm going to have to buy one of your CDs, or how many do you have out?
Well, actually, my first album is coming out probably in the spring of 2012.
Oh, good. So I'm going to have to require a signed one from you at some point, somehow.
That's fine with me.
My website is claudioarts.com, so you can connect with me that way. That's claudioarts.com.
He's not on Facebook.
I'll definitely send you a CD when they get released.
I get on Facebook when I'm absolutely pulled onto it because I try to spend as little time as possible on computer. But
yes, Facebook can be hard.
Yes, yes.
But a lot's going on with my career right now. We're definitely working on my anti-bullying campaign. But
wonderful.
This campaign is for special needs children.
That's fantastic.
So we're just doing a lot to get it out there. I have a song. It's called Don't Look Down. And I'm really excited because I'm actually going to be performing it at the show.
Yay! We were
fantastic.
Hoping you would.
I regret we don't have anything we can play here of yours. What kind of music inspired you?
Let's see. What kind of music inspires me?
I'm sure there's all sorts out there, but what grabbed you?
Well, my style of music is definitely like pop rock. You know, I try to be as original as possible, but I guess if I, you know, had to compare myself to somebody, it'd probably be Pink.
Aha, okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
The good thing about the album, what's pretty much unique about it, and I can't wait for you guys to hear, is that all of my songs are different from each other.
Like, fantastic.
One's pop, one's rock, one's a ballad, one's a little bit country, if you ask me.
All right.
Everything's a little different.
Well, I think you should spill into any genre you want to. I don't know. I see no point in staying in one thing.
Exactly. You gotta experiment.
Absolutely. Keeps it exciting for you. It's one thing to do exciting things for the audience, but it's another thing to keep yourself interested.
Yeah. We just finished up a rock song, and then we went to a pop song, and it's like, wow, we can actually just switch like on a dime. It's pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah, mixing flavors.
Yeah.
Well, I know we can see a lot of your videos on your website, which is GabbyRay.com, right?
Oh, good. Okay.
So
yes, you can definitely see a lot of my videos. In fact, the Don't Look Down video just got released a few days ago.
Good.
And you have a song on iTunes, too?
Yes. Turn It Up got released on iTunes August 30th. And you can download it. I'm really excited. You know, I have gotten so many people who have been buying the song and downloading it, and I knew I had fans, but I never knew I had that many fans.
Well, we've been working hard to spread your name around this area.
For sure. Yes, thank you. I saw the mailer that you all sent out. Oh, I'm seeing all the promotion, and me and Mom are like, wow, they know how to work things.
Well, Roxana and her band has been helping quite a bit, too.
Yes, hey, Roxana.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Are you excited for the show?
I am very excited. It's going to be fun.
We're going to have fun. We're going to stand up for those bullies.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to show
you
them
go, girl.
The boss.
John, did you have something you wanted to say to Gabby?
Oh, no. Hey, Gabby. We're over here doing the Twittering and the Facebooking. Everybody knows about this radio show going on right now, and I've got several people that have been Facebooking back that are finally getting to hear you. They think this is cool. So we're excited about you coming. Everywhere we're going, we're certainly talking you up. So Come on, come on, come on.
Well, thank you. And I'm really excited, you know, just to come down there and help out any way I can.
And this is going to be at Cocoa Booth Amphitheater, right?
That's right.
On the 23rd.
Yeah. On the 23rd.
What time do they open the gates?
Gates open at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, okay.
And buy your tickets. The tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com.
Fantastic, good.
And just Google Gabby Ray, and you will be able to buy your ticket.
And that's GABBIERAE, as far as Ray goes, Gabby Ray.
Yes,
exactly.
Right.
And Gabby, are you going to be available to sign autographs and do pictures with the folks that come?
Yes, pretty much the whole weekend I'm going to be doing lots of meet and greets and visiting a lot of schools. I'm really excited to meet everybody and hang out.
Oh, great. Outstanding.
I heard by listening to the program before I came on, there's going to be a rock wall.
Yeah, yes. A rock wall.
Oh, I know, that's what I said.
Do you plan to do some climbing?
Do
I? Jumping on that thing.
Gabby, are you planning to climb?
I'm sorry?
Are you planning to climb? You seem excited about this rock wall.
We'll have to see, because I have to be careful.
I know.
I'm not the most athletic person. But the thing is, I try, and when I try, it does not turn out well.
Uh-huh.
I might just try anyway.
Climb the rock wall with a microphone and do it as a piece of choreography for one of your
that
tunes.
Could work.
There we go. I'm sure the fans will eat it up.
I can say climb it up.
There we go. Yes. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
If I can't get into my athletic self, I'll just get my face painted.
Oh, good. Okay.
Nice.
That might make you safe through the crowd. Nobody will know who you are. They won't bug you.
Yeah.
There we go. Makeup does it every time. Did anyone else want to interact with Gabby?
Gabby, it's Renee, and I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your boldness and your stepping up to make a difference in the world. And
that's so sweet. Yeah. You guys are
going to
make me cry.
Oh, well, we're very impressed with your work, and we're very excited that you're coming, and I'm looking forward to welcome you at Carolina Friends School on the Monday after your concert.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm really excited to, you know, go to that school, and I think I'm going to a couple of schools, and I want to meet all the students and, you know, hear some of their stories.
Well, they're eager. We have a group who want to have lunch with you. We're going to show you around, have you visit a class. We can't wait for you to come.
Oh, cool. That's gonna be awesome.
Great. And I know that Central Park School will be happy to welcome you on the Friday as well.
Yeah, I've been doing my tons of research on, you know, everything I'm gonna be doing this week, that weekend, and you know, I'm just so excited. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm visiting that school. Oh, I'm doing lunch. Oh, you know, but it's definitely gonna be a lot of fun, and I just want them to know that they always have me on their side, and I do want to hear their stories. You know, for motivation to keep, you know, pushing forward my campaign.
Great. Thank
Sarah,
you, Gabby Ray.
Did you want to communicate with her? We might need to switch headsets here so she can hear Gabby Ray. There we go. Sarah's turn to talk with you.
Okay.
Yes, Sarah Stiegler.
Well, we can't wait to have you come next week. And I know Starbucks is looking forward to having you come and do a meet and greet with them. And the Total Connection for the movie night, that Saturday night, they're looking forward to having you come and sing a song for them. So,
and we are also the Rusty Bucket Band and Roxanne, and everybody's looking forward to seeing you. I know we're going to try to have some impromptu social media hit events. Roxanne has got a book signing right next to Whole Foods there at Quail Ridge Books on the 22nd. So we're going to make sure that we send people down there and so they can leave their change at Whole Foods and continue to support Be Bold, Back Off Bully. Right, Gabby Ray?
Back off, bully.
And I'm hoping to be there myself.
Yes. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Good, good, good. Roxanne, did you want to say anything in parting? Because
I just wanted to say, you know, I'm just so excited that you get to be here, you know, and for having us a part of your campaign. I just think it's so cool. You know, I have a very similar story with my school and then homeschooling and stuff. So it's just so cool to see that somebody else is doing the same thing I am. So I just think that's really cool.
I know, and it's going to be awesome for the two of us to come together in one spot and just, you know, blow them out of the water.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's going to be like a double back-off bully.
Yes.
Well, Gabby, thank you very much for calling in on Claudio Speakeasy and
so
Radio
much.
Theater.
Awesome.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Bye, Gabby.
Bye-bye.
Look forward to having you on again. Cheers.
All right.
And it's back to us. Thank you, Gabby. That was wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing that voice.
Oh, it's going to be a great event, a great weekend.
And one of our volunteers who knows Gabby, Miss Stacy, she mentioned.
Stacy's awesome. Just thought I'd say that.
Yeah, she is.
She warned us at the committee meeting this week to make sure you have your Kleenex with you, because the first time you hear Gabby, she will blow you away.
All right.
So to hear her in person is so much different than hearing her on the internet or.
No doubt, yes.
So to be prepared.
Fantastic. So, well, I'm definitely going to make every effort to go.
I'm real interested now. We've kind of had a chance to hear Gabby talk about her commitment and her involvement. And you were talking a little bit before Gabby came on about some of the initiatives that your school is taking on and how they're dealing with bullying today. I'd be real interested in hearing a little more, if you could drill down a little further and share some of that, because I know that there are people, if they're not listening today, when they download this and listen to it, because this is one of those shows people do. They put on their devices and listen later. What can parents? How do they get involved? Talk to me.
Well, how parents can get involved is first exactly what you're saying, Claudio. They need to listen at home.
Indeed.
But also to go to their school and talk about what's happening. And what schools can do is also to provide that same listening. One of the most important steps, though, is to recognize that there is a system. Most often what we do in schools is deal with the child who's teased or behaved in a bullying way in a punitive fashion, and then we call that the end.
All the criticism does not belong there.
No, right. Well, that person clearly needs help, yes. And of course, most importantly, the child who's been emotionally
bullied,
or physically,
yes,
injured in any way.
I agree.
What we felt in our school community was that those children who were watching what was going on or noticing what was going on were far more numerous than the two kids who might be in the teasing situation. And so what's their role?
Good point.
Because they actually do have a very important role. And there are lots of ways to be a bystander. Some kids are afraid that the bullying will get turned on them, or the teasing will get turned on them, or maybe that person's even their friend. Or they will take a sort of apathetic approach. It's not happening to me, so I'm not getting in that. Whereas what we really want to empower kids to do is to either in the moment figure out some strategies for diffusing the situation, developing some skills for how to intervene and say, wait a minute, or maybe everybody needs to cool down, or any variety of approaches they might take, so that those kids who are bystanders also are able to be important actors upon a situation, that we all own the social well-being of our environment. So understanding that system, teaching it to families, teaching it to teachers, teaching it to kids is really what we're about.
It takes a village perspective.
It absolutely does take a village.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some specific kinds of strategies. Once people understand how the system works, we've used a strategy that Crystal Greiner, who serves on our committee, brought to our school and is bringing to other schools, called Rehearsal for Life, which uses theater techniques to help kids develop, practice some skills for those situations while they're occurring.
Sure.
We also have Open Sky Aikido, and both Rehearsal for Life and Open Sky Aikido will have demonstrations at the event on the 24th, on the 23rd. Those strategies for helping kids breathe, calm down, figure out how to get themselves out of a situation when they need to, whether they're the one who's feeling aggressive or the one who's feeling that someone is being aggressive toward them, are all part of this system.
And also, like you said, the bystanders, sometimes they can actually be egging on the corruptive element.
Yes, sometimes you can sort of become a bully bystander.
Yes, exactly.
Where you start to participate.
Where you suddenly have peer pressure all around you and go, all right, let's just do this for the sake of doing it.
It is.
Yeah.
I'd really like to say that all of the work we have done has been launched from the work of Stuart Twimlow and Frank Sacco and Peter Fonagy, their work heavily leans on mentalization as a strategy, or being able to, in simple terms, think through your actions have a sort of space, as we tell our kids, between ka and boom, a little space where you're thinking. So you ka and some thinking, yes. Maybe boom never has to happen.
And that ka is not to be mistaken for K-O.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Our assistant principal coined that phrase with us.
That's pretty good.
And their work has been significant in helping us develop the work that we've been doing at our school and with the North Carolina Peaceful Schools Project. Stuart and Frank wrote a book called Why School Anti-Bullying Programs Don't Work. It's a wonderful read.
We'll have it at the concert.
Okay. Available
at the concert.
Good,
okay.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Sarah, let's get some of your perspective on this.
All the work, Frank and Stuart and Peter are all psychoanalysts. Mm-hmm. So the work that we're doing is based in psychoanalytic theory, but we're putting it in terms that we can apply it to schools and help schools with the thought process.
How long have you made this part of your project?
The foundation brought it on as one of their initiatives about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay. So it's been in the works.
Yeah. Good. And we started actually with at Renee's school, mm-hmm. The Carolina Friends School, and then we brought on Central Park School as our pilot program in 2009. 2 years ago, in the fall of 2009, we had what was called a back-off bully conference, and we had nearly 250 parents, students, and administrators.
And what exactly was that?
We brought in the experts. We brought Peter Fonagy in and Stuart Twemlow in to talk to parents. And students and administrators about bullying, the system of bullying. And then that afternoon, Carolina Friends School did a presentation of the rehearsal for life, so we could actually help them see a tool that we use that they could take back to their school.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And, you know, we now have our own area experts. Renee is one of our area experts, and we have our training teachers and other schools to help us take this information to other schools.
And this is, I was going to say it has national hopes, of course, aspirations.
Stuart Twemlow has taken this nationally. He mm-hmm. has, it's based on 20 years of research in the Houston area. He's also applied it in the Kansas City area, Jamaica, and Australia is now implementing the program.
How was the Obama nationwide. How was the Obama administration influenced by it? Because they've made it a key part of their administration.
I think they have brought awareness. There's lots of groups.
Were they initially approached by these groups? I would imagine, or did President Obama take initiative?
One thing that this concert has. It's one of the underlining things that this concert has been able to do is bring together all the different groups together to address this issue. Because I think there's a lot of groups out there talking about bullying, but they're all working on their own. And what we really need is bring the groups together, share the message, get on the same platform. So our message to the schools are similar, but we can't do it alone. We need an army to be out there sharing the information.
Are you
private and homeschool?
Exactly.
Are you finding in your experience that any parents are becoming bold and stepping up to the plate on this, or what's the experience so far?
Well, the experience of certainly in our school where we piloted this work with the bystander, really our parents very much were already on board and very involved and have been easy to increase that involvement. Central Park School started really with a small group of teachers and grew from there to be school wide, and now have really engaged their families in this work as well, and are now actually looking at the wider community. How do they make the park next to their school safer? Mm-hmm. So when a system begins to develop that's healthy, it's natural for the school then to begin to reach out. You know, that's really what's true in our school. We want to go forward and help other schools and teach them what
they're
doing.
I was just trying to use a measuring stick to see, you know, what kind of response we're getting at this early stage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's encouraging.
Certainly, this issue, and one of the reasons I think you're hearing this from Obama, that you're hearing it from all of these different groups, is that it is an issue that we cannot ignore any longer.
No.
It undermines.
And there are solutions.
This
is not like we're still trying to find the money to get cancer cured. There's a solution.
There
to this.
Are strategies that work. There are systems that work. But we really have to be willing to put the emphasis on community And not, this is not an aside to the curriculum. This is very much an integrated part of how we live together in schools and communities. And so that's really the takeaway.
We have to take it seriously.
We do. And parents and teachers and kids have to be a part.
When I look back on my life, and it's been pretty adventurous and I've lived pretty dangerously, but I can say...
Boy, is that an understatement.
But I can honestly say that the most amazing time I ever survived was my childhood. That was the time I was most likely to be killed by a bully, by some street fight, by something on the way home or in school. Mm-hmm. And, really was never taken that seriously by the parents.
Right. Because they just don't know often what's happening. It's invisible. And there can just be a huge range of this. I mean, there's some schools in which the environment is much like ours, where teasing is the main component of what happens. Then there are school communities in which gangs are very active,
yes,
part of the school community, and that physical violence is very much a real part of every day.
Absolutely.
For those kids. And sometimes we don't know what's going on. And then there are kids whose lives happen so much online that we don't see it.
No.
And
we hear about the suicides and, mm-hmm, and things of that nature.
The ultimate horrible outcomes. So the awareness of all those things is so important.
And that's why you really have to involve the students in the solution. Because parents trying to talk about and coming up with a solution, they're really not connected to what's going on with the students.
Sounds to me like there needs to be more talk and listening at home, mm-hmm, as well because of this.
And when we first went into Central Park School, we went in and met with a group of their students. And this is an elementary school, so we had representatives from kindergarten through fifth grade. And we asked each of them about bullying at their school. And they all gave us kind of the standard answer. And then one little girl stepped up, she was maybe third or fourth grade, and she says, "I think this school is very safe. There's no one shooting anyone here." So that just raised our awareness that everyone has a different definition of what bullying is.
Yes.
So for a school to really make a difference, they need to make sure everyone has the same definition, and then start working on a solution.
And in defense of parents for just a moment, you know, they have so much on their plate anyway that they'd like to be able to think that their fairy tale concept of the kids in school now is okay for, mm-hmm, until I see them later on this afternoon. That's where they want to live mentally, but, you know, not realizing that that's another element altogether.
Oh, that's very true because, you know, we talked a little earlier before we went on the air. We've got a son at Emerson Waldorf School, and we know folks at Carolina Friends School very well and admire that school as well, but it doesn't matter whether you're at Emerson Waldorf, Carolina Friends School, whether you're homeschooled. I mean, this is why I said earlier, you know, what is it for the homeschooler, the private, mm-hmm, school, the public school? Mm-hmm. You know, we hear about the problems at the public schools all,
yes,
the time. But, you know, and it may be in various degrees that appear to be safer, but even in private school, there's an element there that still needs to be addressed so that it's not just the teasing component or the social media. It's a complete outreach that you're trying to do here that's available for the public, private, and homeschool family.
Right.
So you need support from everyone. The message needs to get to everyone that has a child that's in an education component.
Right, and I'm a parent of four children.
Mm-hmm.
One struggles a little bit more than the others. And they attend public school. And just this past spring, I found out about a month after the situation happened from another parent that he had been bullied by a substitute teacher.
Oh, goodness.
So it's not just student to student. It is also teachers to teachers, administrators. It's the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs to be on the same page. And I didn't even know about the situation because it was another parent and teachers talking about it. And the parent finally asked me, how did that ever resolve itself? And I didn't even know about it.
Goodness.
So... one student in that class felt unsafe and went home and talked to her parent, and the parent then contacted the school, but no one in the school contacted me. So I'm really passionate about this topic because I'm a parent. I want schools to be safe for not only my child, but everyone's
any child.
And everybody. Everyone.
And that's really true, Sarah. And one of the important things for adults to do is to sort of broaden this definition of bullying. You know, most of the time we think of a bully, and we have a stereotypic picture of a bully, and it's usually some hulking guy. That's right. With the boxing gloves.
I look like that right now. Thank you very much. It's a good thing this is radio.
Oh, so you're the bully in the room. That's right. Anybody got the pins?
It's just so important for us to consider that in any situation, any of us can behave in a way that's bullying, which means we are trying to have power over, we're being intimidating, we're being aggressive. So it's important for adults to examine their interactions with their children, mm-hmm. Whether they're parents or whether they're teachers. Have I intimidated this child in this situation? Have I tried to be too aggressive as opposed to finding effective solutions that leave the child's self-esteem intact?
Right.
And yet leave my authority intact.
I think commonly the teachers are by the parents deemed the good guys, and generally if the teacher has anything to say, the son gets disciplined again. At least that's how it was back mm-hmm. in my day.
Not so much.
I have no idea how that's yeah. gone now, but from what you're telling me here, that's a little disturbing that mm-hmm. a teacher would be the bully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although...
Well, I can see that on a mental level.
I want to be very careful about that, because part of this difficulty with this that we struggle with really is the language.
Yes.
Because that word bully carries so much weight and means something so large.
Yes.
And so perhaps it's more effective even for us to talk about behavior that's intimidating
mm-hmm.
or too aggressive.
Oppressive.
Or we've lost our temper. And behaved in a way that's much more threatening than it needs to be.
Or become condescending as a teacher.
Exactly, sarcastic.
Mm-hmm. Sarcastic, uh-huh. exactly.
So those are all things to watch for, too, because kids who experience that regularly eventually want to have some power over that situation.
Yes, oh, no doubt. Yeah. And sometimes some do rise above it, and some end up being somewhat squashed by it psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Or getting really aggressive themselves.
That's true, too, yeah. It's all kinds of...
responses.
All kinds of ways out of that.
That's
and,
right.
And further and deeper into it in some respects. Yeah.
And one of Stuart's quotes that he often share with people is that people underestimate the power dynamics and the depths of the power dynamics when they're talking about bullying. And that's why he wrote his book, that Why School Anti-Bullying Programs Don't Work. People underestimate the power dynamics.
Where can we get this book?
We will have it at the concert.
At the concert, okay.
Yep.
Is there a website for it, or do you have ways that people can contact you?
They can contact me at info@ncpsychoanalysis.org. I'd be good. Happy to send them information.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I'm sure there'd be people out there interested in
mm-hmm.
acquiring that.
Yep.
My goodness, this topic, bullying, yeah. those that need power. And, you know, the one thing we do have to keep in mind as far as our children go is that these are the most influential times of their lives. They're open to just about everything. That's why when I did my apprenticeship as a gourmet chef in Germany, mm-hmm. they wanted that apprenticeship to be from 15 to 18, because that way they could not only influence the culinary arts, but they could make it a part of my life. And so the same thing goes with children that are subjected to these types of atrocities early on in life. They have to find their way to sort of weave themselves around them, mm-hmm. and it becomes a psychological element that goes with them for life.
Well, you bring up a really good point, Claudio, about that age range, 15 to 18. You know, when we were coming up with the idea for doing the Rusty Bucket Kids, it just seemed so natural when it came to me that we should go back and visit Abe Lincoln or Edison or Henry Ford, Julia Lowe, when they are in their tween to teen years, the most impressionable years.
Yes.
That's when, you know, I think about it. I'd rather know about these people then than when I know about them when they're on the back of the penny or the $5 bill. It just means more. And, of course, you know, I'm now starting to think in my mind, and I'm sure my director who's listening now is probably going, oh, no, he's going to have another
You let him listen to this.
But it's like I want to make sure that, you know, we want to stay true historically to the period of time. But it'll be really interesting to see the kind of bullying that went on back in the 30s or the late 1800s, because we know it went on. We hear about it in the school that Thomas Edison went to. You know, he was pretty much drummed out of school because the teacher just basically said, you know, he just doesn't have it. He's not going to make much of himself.
It is, however, a premise that's not frequently carried over into the entertainment realm.
It isn't. So it's going to be real interesting. We're going to have more discussions about that, because I want to follow up and see how that period of time, you know, affected people and how we need to make that different today and embrace our young people. I know that Roxana, because she's here, but it had to have been really cool researching either Lincoln, researching Edison, and seeing what it was like living in that period of time.
I mean, it really was, you know, just to see that those people at one time were my age, you know, and going through some of the same things. And so, you know, it's just kind of cool to go back in time and see them when they were 15 and 13 and, you know, in their teen and tween years. So, you know, I just...
Teen and tween, I like that.
Teen and tween, yes. So I just think that that's really cool, yeah. You know, that in their teenage years, they weren't somebody big. They weren't somebody important or, you know, that made an impact on the world. So, you know, we look back and you wouldn't really think of Thomas Edison at age 13 or an Abe Lincoln at 15, you know?
And if you do imagine him, you'd imagine something extraordinary, whereas it was just a normal childhood for the day, for the period.
Yeah, so...
Roxanna, I'm curious, in your research and looking at the lives of those people in their teens and tweens, what are the personal takeaways for you? How has your use of that research impacted how you think about your own journey, your own life?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I haven't gotten very many of those types of questions. But, you know, I think the, you know, more you know about what's happened in the past, the better you prepared you are for the future, you know. So... and that's why I find history so fascinating. So, I mean, I just think that, you know, knowing that you don't have to be, you know, great from the start, you know, and just, you know, working through everything. And like I said, you know, people, big important people weren't something when they were young, you know.
They were normal for their time.
They were
average,
you know,
for their
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
So it sort of gives you some permission to be a normal teen, tween, working through your own lessons, figuring your stuff out, and trusting, like, if you keep working at it.
Right. Well, can I have permission to be one now?
Well, sure.
The child is still
the inner
in there.
Child. That's,
yeah.
right.
That's right.
So, but, you know, it also kind of allows me to still be a kid and not have to, you know, be impacted by all this, you know, pressure, you know, of, you know, being a... You know,
of being more than you are naturally, so to speak.
Right, yeah. You know, and that's part of the reason I went back to homeschooling, because I wasn't... People thought of me as kind of this brat who was, you know, a singer, an actor, had, you know, all this
stuff. You stood
stuff,
out because
you
of
know.
It, and it creates envy.
Right, yeah. And so I just didn't like that. I didn't like being looked at as somebody other than who I was. They mm-hmm. were looking at me... differently than what how I wanted to be looked at. So,
which brings up a point that envy is a rather serious culprit in this whole bullying
yeah,
scheme.
Exactly.
Sure.
So.
Envy can be a big part of what's going on. It is really, if you look at any person's interaction in a situation, a bullying situation, any player in it is seeking something for
yes.
themselves that ultimately we would support as a good intention.
Yes.
It's just a horrible way to get it.
It's based on a feeling of inadequacy or insecurity that's somehow striving, reaching desperately for mm-hmm. God knows what.
It is important to recognize those children who need serious intervention, because sometimes
yes.
there are kids who really have a disorder or who need serious psychoanalysis and serious intervention. And those situations need referrals to the right people.
And bear in mind, it's not just what the children see at home or in their environment; it's also what they hear. It's mm-hmm. things that you don't even realize they're absorbing. They absorb so much more than we give them credit for, and every one of those elements have an influence when coming from a parental figure or someone that should be in an exemplary position.
And what Renee was saying about, you know, children with special needs and things like that, back when I was in public school, they were some of my best friends, you know, because they had special, you know, talents and things.
They were just happy to be connected.
Exactly.
To be linked.
So,
yes.
You know, it was nice that they had somebody, you know, to be friends with. And then, mm-hmm. you know, there was somebody for me too. So, and I think that special needs children are, you know, kind of a target for, you know, for bullies and stuff. And it's just something that is not something that can be continued for much longer.
I agree.
Well, and I think that's part of, you know, when I hear some of this discussion, I think, gosh, in some ways our show is showing that we're doing a part to subtly not encourage bullying, because here we have grandkids listening to grandparents. We have kids that are 10 years old and 13 years old listening to a 15-year-old, and a 15-year-old who's also willing to listen to a 10-year-old. One of the problems I've seen with television so much that targets youth is The show totally targets that youth demographic. There's no crossover of age or barrier. And in the real world, 15-year-olds do have to hang around 10-year-olds. 10-year-olds do have to hang around 20-year-olds. In other words, we are a society and a village that's made up of many ages, and we all have to learn to get along and respect each other. Thank you very much.
Well, that's a good note to actually end this on. So if anybody has a website or any information they'd like to impart, we've got a couple more minutes before we wrap this thing up. Let's go ahead and do that now.
Well, I just encourage everyone to buy a ticket for our Back Off Bully Be Bold concert on October 23rd, Ticketmaster.com. You can get your tickets online or go to the Cocoa Booth Amphitheater.
The support
in Cary.
Itself.
Come meet Gabby Ray and Roxanne and the Rusty Bucket Band. They're going to have a great time. Come on out.
The support itself will make a statement.
Right. And the proceeds from this concert will allow us to take our talks and interventions and work with more schools and more school communities in the area.
Absolutely. Sure. And if anybody needs any information for the time being, you can go to claudioarts.com and I can impart anything for you. The podcast will hopefully be up within a couple of days. And at this point, I'd like to thank Renee Prillman for being on the show, as well as Sarah Stiegler.
Thank you.
Also, Roxana and John Demers, my absolute pleasure. And, of course, my very wonderfully patient host, who has been rather silent in this one, which I'm surprised. I know you have a lot to impart on this subject, but you've listened.
I am a listener.
I know you are. Of course, I know that. But anyway, so for the speakeasy, what I'd like to say, of course, once more on behalf of Carolina Theatre of Durham, the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, they're open and happening again. You can see them at carolinatheater.org. Until next time, folks, you keep us tuned in and we'll keep you turned on. This is The Speakeasy. Cheers.
Yay!